Moving on to more big things for 2008. Washington Post columnist Warren Brown took a look at the cars of the future in Detroit at the annual North American International Auto Show. He's just off the plane, and he's on the phone with us now. Hi, Warren. Warren, are you there with us?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh, yes, I can hear you.
Okay, good.
Okay, so how was your trip?
Very, very busy. I mean, it was actually a week-long trip for me. I actually drove the Smart for Two, which is a very small car. From Amarillo, Texas to Detroit, for the Detroit Auto Show. And I thought I would drive it from Detroit here, but the weather got in the way of that. But the show itself was, I call it a mix of kind of a product schizophrenia. You know, on the one hand, you know, you have everybody doing the usual horsepower dance, but now they're doing it to a different beat, Michelle. They're adding green themes, even to the point that when you walk around the floor at the giant Cobo Hall there in Detroit, you come across, get this, a biofuel Ferrari. it just happens to be a 4.3-liter V8, 510 horsepower biofuel. You still will get very few miles per gallon, but presumably, with the biofuel, you're not really swallowing oil per se, and also you're not polluting the environment as much. And actually, there was lots of that, you know, all over the show floor. How about let's try this one on you. How about an $80,000 plug-in electric Fisker Karma sports car? You have that one, too. And, of course, you know, you have the usual, you know, you have, you know, all of the usual production-ready interviews, production-ready introductions are the cars that probably will, that doubtless will make it to the marketplace, probably.
Well, what I want to ask you about that, though, Warren, is it because on the other hand, there are these sort of kind of interesting alternative fuel concept sort of cars out there and ideas out there. On the other hand, Ford and Dodge both released new versions of their full-size pickup trucks. There are new, you know, big cars out there. So I'm just wondering, is this interest in sort of alternative energy just kind of a PR thing?
No. What we don't understand here in the so-called communication capitals of the country is that there's this huge thing out there called America. And when you're driving across America, you notice several things. There are lots of farms, lots of factories, lots of small towns, and several hundred thousand, more than almost a million or so buyers out there who want and need trucks. That is why a so-called green company such as Toyota has poured millions into developing the Toyota Tundra, to go against Ford, which is pouring in more millions to defend the Ford F-150 against the Tundra. And you also have, Chrysler Corporation with this new 2009 Dodge Ram pickup truck. And, of course, you know, the Chevrolet Silverado and all of the rest of those. The truck segment, despite what we say here in the Eastern media and in effete places such as Los Angeles, the truck segment is still a very, very, very strong segment. As a matter of fact, numerically, it is probably the single largest segment of vehicles being sold.
Well, I don't know. Since 40%, I think, of the cars on the road are SUVs, I think people are pretty well acquainted with the attraction of bigger cars. I guess what I'm wondering is, gas prices being what they are, is there any move in the other direction?
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, you mean towards smaller cars?
Yeah, smaller cars.
Yeah, sure. But again, you know, all things aren't what they appear to be, Michelle. The people leaving trucks are the pursuers, the people who really didn't need trucks in the first place, but they were basically running around in them to enhance their manhood, womanhood, or whatever the heck it is they wanted to enhance.
Whatever they're enhancing.
Yeah, whatever they're enhancing. So those people are dropping out of the market. But the people who really need the trucks are still in the market. But you're absolutely right. They also need more fuel-efficient vehicles. And so we're beginning to see, for example, from Chrysler and GM and even from Toyota, we're going to see things such as dual-mode hybrid pickups, gas-electric pickups that actually get better mileage on a highway than they do in the city, which is just the reverse of the current generation, you know, kind of hybrids. We're going to see lots and lots of diesels, you know, coming in. Diesels tend to be about 35% more efficient. And, of course, the whole business of, you know, flex fuel technology, vehicles that run on E85, you know, ethanol, you know, we're going to see lots of those. So, you know, that is being addressed. But the deal is that we have multiple markets out there. Mm-hmm. And that's all there is. And so, those multiple markets are not going to go away simply because fuel prices are rising.
I understand that some Chinese companies were dipping their toes into the American market for the first time.
Well, yeah, well, they're doing more than dipping their toes, Michelle.
Mm-hmm. What they have for us? What'd you see?
They're setting up factories in Mexico, presumably initially for so-called, you know, third world distribution of their products. But it is fairly clear, particularly curiously enough. And this is, there's a hierarchy at these shows. You can always tell, you know, the newcomers because they always put them in a basement, right? And so that's the case here, you know, with the Chinese, you know, autos. You want to see the Chinese autos at Cobo Hall in Detroit, you have to go downstairs, you know, to the basement, and there they are. It's kind of wishful thinking on the part of the foreign companies and the domestic companies, you know, selling in the United States, that maybe if we keep them in a basement, they won't come up too soon. But it is just basically wishful thinking.
Well, how were their cars? What were the cars like?
To the eye, they look great. You know, to the eye, you know, they look great. To the eye, fit and finish, you know, is good. I suspect that a lot of them are going to run into legal problems because the Chinese don't seem to exactly have the same passion for intellectual property rights that we have in the West, and so there's a lot of blatant copying going on. The other thing that they have to, the Chinese have to take into consideration very seriously, is that our regulatory agencies actually, for the most part, tend to do what they statutorily are supposed to do, and that is, in safety, they look at safety. Companies such as Brilliant and you know Great Wall, a couple of the other companies from China, the things they sell in China may be great for China, but they don't still come up to snuff to National Highway Traffic Safety Administration crash tests in the United States. And so, you know, they do have to get over that. I have no doubt that they will, and you know, they'll be here probably 2010, 2012, right around in there.
Well, that's soon, actually. So tell me a little bit more about some of the concepts that you saw out there, concept cars that we're not going to see in the showroom right away, but that might be there in the next couple of years or so. Well, anything that really got you excited?
Well, one thing that got me excited was the new Cadillac CTS coupe. And what I like about that is because it indicates that Cadillac and GM will continue to do what I had long hoped they would do, and that is design for design. Don't design for some, you know, common denominator. Don't care that everybody doesn't like you. You know, you want to make some people hate you, but the problem is you want to make some people love you. The idea is to go for passion. You know, not for anything else.
So what does this car do? What's so fabulous?
I mean, it is the most in-your-face angular coupe, you know, you ever want to see, with a rear end that, you know, will definitely draw whistles. as a matter of fact, I spoke to several of the GM designers, and I said, please, whatever you do, if and when you bring that one to market, don't mess with the behind on that car. Just leave it the way it is.
You know, you want one.
Yeah. We'll see, you know, what they do.
Okay.
The manufacturers have all been engaging in what I call vehicle development school of saving your cake and having it too. It's a matter of trying to give consumers everything they want, including, you know, fuel economy. And Suzuki has something called the X-Head. I know, awful name, ridiculous name. But it looks like a neighborhood fire truck.
Okay. Well, that I will look forward to seeing. Warren, we're going to have to leave it there.
Yeah.
Warren Brown is a columnist for the Washington Post. He writes about all things automotive. Warren, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me, Michelle. Take care.
Mustang Sally. Guess you better slow.
And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.